Hi, welcome to Women Living Passionately, honest conversations with amazing women who are living their passion and purpose while making a difference in the world. I'm your host, Natalie Matoshenko. I'm a leadership coach, and for the past 16 years, I have worked with thousands of driven, ambitious, soulful, multi-passionate go-getters to help them figure out what they were put on this earth to do and start doing it. Together, we start purpose-driven businesses, change careers, start nonprofits, movements, creative projects, what have you, all while living your best possible life and having fulfilling relationships. And I created this series because I really wanted to connect with amazing women. All of the women I have invited are women who have made an incredible contribution and difference in my life. And I wanted to share them with all of you so that you can not only get inspired to live your own passion and purpose, but also get tools and tips and ideas that you can use today to start having a happier, healthier life. And today, it is my great pleasure to introduce you to Bonnie Harris. Bonnie is a director of Connective Parenting and has been a child behavior and parenting specialist for over 25 years. She has written two highly acclaimed books, When Your Kids Push Your Buttons is one, and Confident Parents, Remarkable Kids, 8 Principles for Raising Kids You Will Love to Live With is the second one. Bonnie offers parenting counseling, workshops, and speaking engagements internationally. She's the mother of 2 grown children and has helped me personally become a better and more conscientious mom. I've worked with Bonnie, to learn how to raise kids I want to live with and how to be a mom that, you know, my kids want to live with as well. So welcome, Bonnie.
Thank you, Natalie. Nice to be here.
Yeah, it's a great pleasure to have you here. So let's just dive right in. So Bonnie, how did you uncover your passion and purpose? You know, how did you come to be doing what you're doing?
Well, interesting story that I'll try to make really brief. I used to be an actress in New York City. And then I had my first child. And at first I thought I could be Meryl Streep and do everything, you know, have a career and children. And then I found out pretty quickly that I couldn't, and I wasn't willing to do what I had to do, but I didn't know what else I wanted to do. And so I actually had this epiphany one day, and it was as if the universe came down and put this vice grip on my head and said, wrong direction this way, you need to go this way. And it was something that was really upsetting for me. I couldn't stop crying about it. I was a wreck for 2 weeks. I didn't stop crying, and for 2 years I was really depressed about it.
Right,
but I
was passionate about acting.
Yeah, and I wanted to do that. Right. But I moved ahead. I knew I had to do something different, and I moved ahead, and I went back to school and I got my degree, and I knew if I was going to do something else, it had to have something to do with children. And I loved talking about parenting. And so a lot of interesting little how I got to where I got to, but I got my degree in New York in early childhood development. And then soon after that, moved up to, with my now 2 children, up to rural New Hampshire, and started a practice. And I just, it was very strange. I started teaching classes at the local hospital, and then they were going to go through this major renovation, and they were going to put me in an old hospital room for my groups. And I thought, yeah, I don't think I want to do that. And so one day I answered the telephone, And I said, this was a huge, courageous move on my part. I had been talking to a therapist supervisor about what I should do and had come up with the name, the Parent Guidance Center. And one day, I had no idea where I was going to what I was going to do. I had an office at home and I picked up the phone and I said, hello, the Parent Guidance Center.
I love it.
And it was like, what does that mean?
Practice.
And that was the launch of the center that I started. It's still going to this day. That was in 1987, 88. In 1990, I actually got a full legal certificate name for the Parent Guidance Center. And it's gone through three different iterations, but it's still running today, and it's expanded and expanded, and I still teach there. I don't run it anymore, thank God. But yeah, so that's how that started.
There are a few parts of what you share that I really want to delve into more and highlight, because a lot of people that I work with, and I suspect a lot of people who are watching this, are multi-passionate. You know, there's so many things that they're interested in and excited about. And one of the questions is either, you know, how do you put it into a whole that works, or how do I choose just one, or do I have to choose just one? And you spoke to that sort of the passion and love you had for acting in the theater, and then becoming a mom. And, you know, again, there's a gazillion ways to do it, and Meryl Streep has done it, but, you know.
We can't all be Meryl Streep.
Right. And everyone has their own journey, right? And life dictates sometimes different choices. And we might find that at any given point in time, one passion just overrides another one. Like, you know, in my case, I'm a vagabond. I love to travel. I love to explore different cultures. And when I had my first daughter, I know the hardest thing for me was just the schedules and the routines and never being able to go anywhere without all the accoutrements. Of course, by my third child, I realized you don't need any of those accoutrements, but that's a whole different
thing. Right.
I'll never forget this moment that I was sitting there at 7:30 in the evening, giving her her bath before bed, thinking, oh my God, this is what I'm going to be doing at 7:30 in the evening for the next 18
years.
I want to be a bather for the next 18 years. But, you know, the point, you know, five pregnancies, a few miscarriages, three kids later, there was a good decade.
Yeah.
You know, I was in the grind of just hands-on mothering and making my organic baby food and travel. And it was really painful for me not to be out in the world. But yet, again, people do it in a gazillion different ways. But I needed, and our family needed, to stay put for that decade and kind of hunker down. And so it was like that passion for being the mom I wanted to be overtook my passion for being a vagabond. And then, as you know, of course, as soon as that decade was up, I was like, all right, we got to get out of here. And that's how we live in South America and travel the world and all the rest of it. Because all of a sudden it was like, okay, you know, I feel like I got this mom thing down, and now I can be a good mom on the road too.
That's right.
It's just responding to what life brings you.
Yeah.
And there's often loss involved. Like,
There is. I had this, I don't think ever in my childhood did I have one of those huge all-day suckers, but I had this image when this was all happening. I had this image of myself as a little girl with her big, huge all-day sucker being ripped out of my hands.
Aww.
Interesting. Yeah. And, you know, to your point, I certainly could have gone back to acting when my kids were older, but by then we had moved out of the city and it wasn't my passion anymore.
Right.
So, you know, then it became doing parenting work, because it was so earth-shattering to me when it all happened. Right. So that's what I wanted to share with everybody.
Right. You know? Well, and there's, and you're speaking to how life just, you know, sometimes there's what we want from life, and then there's what life wants from us.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. And it's got to be a balance. I think to find what really works, you do need that balance.
Yeah. So if you could speak a little more, because you mentioned that you cried for 2 weeks, but you went back to school. But how was that process and that decision? Because, you know, if you love something so much, I mean, as much as I love to travel, I don't think I cried. I had a few like hissy fits here and there as I was needing mm-hmm. in diapers mm-hmm. and the rest of it. Mm-hmm. But like, if you loved it so much, how was that process for you to decide, or how did you make the decision that day?
Well, fortunately, I was in therapy at the time. Mm-hmm. And so I went, you know, I shared this, of course, with my therapist, and I couldn't stop crying about it. And he said, well, I understand why you're sad about leaving acting, but there, you know, there are new opportunities here. And I can't remember how he put it, but there was something about that. And I told him that I wanted to do something with parents, something with children. I wasn't sure what. That was the only thing I really cared about. And he said, do you know about Bank Street School? And I said, oh, absolutely. My child goes to a Bank Street School. It's a model school, and it's a graduate school as well, and a model school for children. And so he said, well, I think they possibly have what you're looking for. I walked, after crying for an hour, I walked out of his office, got in the elevator, went home, opened the door, walked into my apartment, went directly to the phone, got out the phone book. Remember phone books? Anybody?
You didn't get online to Google Bank Street School.
That's right. Got out the phone book and I called them, and they said, as a matter of fact, we're having an open house tonight.
Wow.
It's like, wow. And I couldn't believe it. I said, I will be there. And they had a program called Parent Infant Development. And it was, you know, I thought just exactly what I wanted. I could also do it at my own pace. You know, I had one child and was hoping to have another soon. And I wasn't going to be able to go to school full time, which is what I would have had to do to get an MSW. And so I started it. And then when I got pregnant with my second child, I took a year off, and then I went back and I finished, and and so that's how it happened.
Well, and I love that story, because that's how it happens, right? That's how you know that you're on the right path.
Absolutely. It was such a clear signal.
Right. Like, you start exploring and way opens. The universe sends just the right opportunity.
I know.
That's what I often tell clients and try to remember myself, you know, is that it's a healthy balance between taking action, because, you know, we can't just dream it into existence. We have to take the action.
Right. Right.
Then, like, having the patience and the faith to take a deep breath and see, you know, really evaluate how it's working. Because some of us, you know, who've been raised in really type A environments are like, well, we got to make this happen, right?
Exactly.
Water, and that has its merits, but that may not be the path for you. Where things just seem to work out almost as if by magic.
Right, yeah. It really was that. Another interesting story. After we got here to New Hampshire, and I was thinking about starting a center, still thinking about it, terrified, a friend came and visited. And we were sitting around talking, and I was telling her about, you know, hopes and dreams and blah, blah, blah. And she said, well, when are you going to start this? And I said, oh, I can't start it until I finish. I have a stack of books that I have to read that I just, you know, I just don't, I need to get this information in before I can do something like that. And she said, why can't you start it and then read the books? And I realized that I was using that stack of books to protect me from having to take the next step.
Yeah.
And as soon as she called me on it, I couldn't use it as an excuse anymore. I didn't even realize I was. It was so interesting. There was this metaphorical stack of books that was preventing me from going further.
Right.
There's always been a stack of books, you know, that drives me crazy.
Right. And if I had a dime for every time someone said that, it's like the degree, the books, like the outside validation and approval that, you know, now I'm an expert and now I
Right. I have to have these letters after my name.
Right. As opposed to just like trust your passion and trust what you already do know. And start, right?
Exactly. And even if you don't have the whatever credentials, knowledge, whatever you need, start the passion and then that will become clear. You know, if you need to do this or do that, you can plug it in. It's, you know, doesn't have to happen in any particular order.
No. What's funny, I'm going to tell on myself here because I'm actually going through a similar process right now, right? Because of my immigrant background, I was very much raised with, you know, do something practical that's going to make lots of money, have a status, blah, blah, blah. And that's how I wound up, you know, at a top business school studying finance, whereas I was interested in psychology and art. Worked in project finance and basically never balanced my own checkbook and always just wanted enough money that I never had to deal with money. Now, fast forward 20 years, I mean, I left that world and I've been coaching for 16 years and have learned to deal with my money. But what's the number one issue that my clients kind of have that keeps them from following their passion and purpose? Often it's concern about their financial security. Imagine that. And I find myself coaching more and more on money. And, you know, and at first it was like, oh, money, wait, that was that topic I was never going to touch after I left finance. And now I'm finding myself getting like really passionate about it, like the soul of money, the spiritual side of money. Like, how's money there to help us grow? Because I see all these amazing, mostly women, entrepreneurs who are afraid to charge what they're worth. Like basically they're just all issues about money. And all of a sudden, it's not just about money, it's what money represents. But, and this is what I'm telling on myself, I've been so tempted to just like launch all this work around money, except, you know, Bonnie, I have to take a few more courses before I'm really qualified.
And read several more books.
Yeah, because, you know, the gazillion I've read and taken and done it.
Right, yeah.
So hearing you say that has been like a little message from the universe.
Yeah.
Just let it go and start talking more about money.
Right, exactly. Oh, Lord.
So, Bonnie, other than your stack of books, or maybe that was, what would you think was the biggest obstacle you had to overcome?
Well, the biggest obstacle I had to overcome, and this may not be what you're thinking of, but the biggest obstacle I had to overcome was the most important teaching that happened for me, and that was my daughter. So I thought that I could talk to anybody and everybody about parenting because I had this adorable, charming, happy, very cooperative, lovely little boy who was just so easy. And I thought, you know, why is everybody having all these problems? Maybe I can help them solve the problems. And then, so I had him for 4.5 years, actually closer to 5 years, and thinking that I was the best parent in the world. And then my daughter was born. and she cut me off at the knees. And it was like everything I thought I knew flew out the window. Forget what I learned when I got my degree. This was the degree, you know, this was the work. Oh my goodness. So, I mean, I've got my books are full of stories about her and how, what I had to learn because of what she presented me with. And of course, that those are the parents that I work with the most, the parents of kids who won't take no for an answer, who won't be told what to do, and have a very, very strong mind of their own, and are very tough for parents who have their own ideas of how children should be, very tough to raise. So she was not only the biggest obstacle, but I call her my teacher because I never, can you imagine going to a parenting class or working with a parenting coach with someone who only had just heavenly, easy kids? You know, you wouldn't want to hear anything from them.
No. Working with you, that every time, you know, I've come with you to you with a challenge, you always reference your daughter.
Yeah, you know, right.
And I feel like really, really good practical advice. And in fact, if I may share with the listeners, you know, what I absolutely love about Bonnie's work is I feel like you're a really great combination of, you know, the deeper stuff, you know, what's going on for me as a mom and really looking at myself that therapy may provide. And then also just the really hands-on practical, you know, this is what works, that coaching provides with the kids and for ourselves. And it's just, you know, a beautiful blend. And, right. You know, what I'm hearing you say is, you know, it's wisdom that was come by.
Right. Well, it certainly was come by naturally. But, and now I've, you know, worked with thousands of parents, so many of whom have kids like this. So I've gotten it from all different angles. So it's great. And now I have grandkids. So I'm back in the thick of young children and what they're presenting to their parents. So yeah,
it's so funny. We all know there's like maybe two kids out there who are like perfect.
Right, exactly.
The rest of us and, you know, parents as well, right? Because we all have our baggage. And you're speaking to a really important point that, you know, often what we're meant to do really comes from our pain points, right? It's
right,
like life
right.
presents us the challenges.
Right,
and in
right.
order to overcome these challenges,
right.
we have to grow as individuals. We have to gain all this wisdom. We have to gain a lot of tools. And from that, we're better able to serve the world.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
my own work comes from my struggle and, you know, figuring out what I'm meant to do with my life and how, you know, to make it okay to do what I love and who mm-hmm. I am, you know, and break out of the boxes I was raised in. And,
yes.
you know, most people have, you know, their version of boxes and those moments that bring them to their knees, right? Oh, I thought I knew this, but wait a minute.
As a matter of fact, I know nothing. And the way I was raised, I was pretty much raised without a voice. I had such an autocratic father, and I watched him parent my older brother with such force and fear that instead of fighting that, which my brother was doing, I shut down. And I just learned, oops, I know what I have to do to get my father's approval, and that is to just be quiet. And so I didn't have any voice. I didn't have any opinions. I didn't have any, nothing. And I did go through years of therapy and lots of different workshops and things like that to find my voice. But I do think that my daughter is the one who finally allowed me to have it because she had such a strong one. And so in parenting her, I really parented myself. And that's what I tell parents all the time too. This is about you. Your kids are fine. This is about you and how you're going to meet this challenge of this child who is pushing your buttons, who is poking you and prodding you to become a better, fuller, wholer human being. And that's really what it's all about.
I know, right? If only we could bypass that process, but
if only, I know.
Because we all, I mean, and I firmly believe this, when we're ready, we all get the children we need.
We need, that's right.
And become, yep. Like you said, you know, the best versions of ourselves, but it's not right.
Easy. No, it's not.
There's so many societal expectations of not only what a parent or a mother should be, but, you know, what a child should be.
Well, and we parent our children based on how we were raised. And so we just project and expect and everything based on what we learned. And often the, you know, the rejection of what we learned, but that's not effective either. So it's so interesting to me. It's just every story is so interesting to me.
Right. Well, and it's such a gold mine, right? Because I mean, in my own case, I have 20 some years of personal growth work of every kind. And I can often, you know, if I'm being honest, think I'm like, you know, wise and evolved at moments. And then there's nothing like mothering to just bring me back down to.
Right. Exactly.
It's hard, you know?
And yeah, exactly.
And yet it's not working and I'm upset and I'm pissed off. Wait, what?
Right. I know. It's like, and it's never ending, you know, it just keeps going and going. But then you find out when you give your child what she needs as opposed to what you think she should be, you know, try to make her to be who you think she should be, but just support her and let her follow her own path. It's just the most amazing journey in the world. It's just to sit back, give the support, give the nurturance, but just watch your child take off. And it's stunning. It's absolutely stunning to see another human being really, really find what their passion is, which is completely and utterly unlike anything you would ever think of.
Right. Well, and that's the beauty of it, right?
Yeah.
I always think, you know, our children are just kind of in our care for a certain amount of time, and yet they're here to teach us way more than we're here to teach them.
To teach them, exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Process.
Yeah, it is.
So let me ask you this, Bonnie. If you had one piece of advice or something you wanted to tell your younger self, you know, and this could be 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20, 40, it doesn't matter, you know, whichever younger self just really needed to hear it the most, what would it be?
Trust yourself. And I think it took me so many years to do that because I never got that growing up. And so I never thought that, you know, listening to myself was I had to do what somebody else thought I should do, what I got approval from somebody else. So I really think when we trust our children, they just learn naturally to trust themselves. So I think that's what I would have in many different words and variations of that. I think that's the main lesson I think I would have wanted, to trust myself.
Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. I guess because very few of us got that growing up. I think that's the number one problem people in general, but especially women, face, you know?
Yeah, Yeah.
Is trying to uncover.
Especially the, women. Yeah.
Especially women, because we are raised to be so many things for so many people.
Right. Exactly.
And we're relational beings, generalizing here, and often even intuit what it is that's needed from us in any given situations.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a big part of living from passion and purpose, parenting.
Right, right, right. And anything about yourself is, I was taught, was being selfish.
Right.
And you can't do that, so.
You can't possibly be selfish. So, because I run into that over and over. Women who feel like they can't do anything for them. It's selfish to take care of themselves. It's selfish to do what they love. It's selfish to put their own needs above those of others. And it's like, how can you create a joyful, authentic life or, be an effective parent under,
Exactly.
Under
exactly.
those circumstances.
And have confidence in yourself.
Right. Yeah, you're right. Because so much of parenting is having that confidence.
Having confidence. Oh my God.
You're going to destroy this child.
Huge.
On this journey together.
Yeah. So when we grow without it, without trust in ourselves, with thinking, having that nagging, I'm not good enough feeling, then we have to make it all up. We have to start parenting from scratch rather than just moving on with the way we were brought up, and now I'm going to bring up my children. We think we can do that, but doesn't work the way it used to centuries ago. It's not the same. We have gone so far off track with how we raise children that it's hard to get it back.
Yeah. So I know we've talked about a lot of really great stuff here, but if you could, and I know it's huge, but if you could think of kind of the one idea or tool or way to be helpful to all the parents out there listening, what would you tell them? Trust themselves.
Trust themselves. Let go. Let go. Like you were saying, our children are there to teach us more than we to teach them. So I say to parents all the time, be more, teach less. And you teach by your modeling. The other thing is, be the person you want your children to become. So take responsibility, be impeccable with your word as the, make sure you are talking to your children with the same respect you want them to talk to you with. And let go of any kind of coercive tactics that get children to do what you want them to do. That's the biggest harm we do to our children, is to force them into doing our bidding, what we want. Of course they have to cooperate, but there are so many better ways to gain their cooperation than by force and threats and punishments and all of that. So
yeah,
that's a lot of words around let go.
Yes, but, well, explanations were definitely needed.
Yeah.
And I know there's much more in your books and in the work that you do. Because yes, this topic is so rich and so important. And, the primary concern of most people, and especially most women that I know, how to be the best woman you can be. So how can listeners find out more about you and your work?
My website is bonnieharris.com. And there is tons of articles and all kinds of stuff on the website. And on the website, you can sign up for my newsletter. That's just an easy little click and give your email address. And so my newsletter has articles, it has tips, it has questions from readers with my answers, and they can also send me questions for the newsletter. And I'm on Facebook at Bonnie Harris, Connective Parenting. And I do counseling anywhere in the world. So there's a lot to read about that on my website too.
Thanks to that, because Bonnie and I, you know, I live in Columbia, South America most of the year, and Bonnie's up in New Hampshire. And thanks to technology, we have
the wonder of the internet.
Face-to-face sessions.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Bonnie. Thank you, everybody who's listening. I will have all the links that Bonnie mentioned in the resources section of the page where you found this, you know, video or audio recording. So you can look up Bonnie and her work and get all the amazing resources that she has. And her newsletter is certainly full of advice and great resources as well. And if you're interested in uncovering your passion and purpose and figuring out, you know, what you were put on this earth to do, then I have a special offer for you as well. I invite you to apply for a complimentary passion and purpose call. You just go to my website, nataliematoshenko.com/call, and you apply. And if I think we're a good fit, we have an absolutely free call where we talk about your biggest stumbling block that keeps you from living your passion and purpose and how to overcome it. So thank you so much.
And let me just add on there that that I offer a half hour free consult for anyone who wants to find out if they would like to work with me. So that's we kind of do the same thing. So yeah.
So take advantage of it, everybody. Seriously,
right.
Bonnie is a treasure. And Bonnie, thank you so much for being here today and sharing your wisdom with us. And thank you, everybody who's watching this or listening. And have a great week. Until next week. Bye-bye.